Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Judges chapter 16. Welcome to the Michael Wiggins Show. Glad you're here. By the way, let me brag on the Lord real quick. This may sound bad, but I'm going to brag on the Lord. I don't think you can go wrong bragging on the Lord. So, toward the end of the last year, I was like, Lord, you know, you've called me to preach. I don't like office work. I don't like computers. And 95% of what I do is that. I was like, Lord, would you let me preach more in 2020? And I'm going to tell you what, God's good. Tonight, after I preach, I will have preached this week 5 times. Hallelujah. I preached every day except for Monday of this week. Ain't God good? Not only that, I've gotten guys that have called me, say, hey, can you speak at this here in a couple weeks? I'm speaking at Valentine's Bank. I'm speaking at a youth conference. I'm speaking at a friend day. I mean, the Lord just heard my prayer, and I was like, thank you, Lord Jesus. And there again, I never want our pastor to be sick. But you know, the Lord has a way of letting people preach. So, but do be in prayer for pastor. It's kind of a relapse and things like that. And I know Miss Tanya's still not feeling well either. Be in prayer. There's many of them out tonight. I know Brother Lepper's out with Henry tonight, not feeling well. Well, plus he's already heard this message this morning. He said, I ain't gonna tell you all what he said, but he said my wife needs it tonight, so I'm gonna let her come. So glad you're here tonight. And there's a few others in here that's already heard this message today. So if God tells it to you once, you need it. If God tells it to you twice, you better heed it, right? You need it, and then you heed it, right? But anyway, some of y'all that's hearing this message for twice. I preached a chapel today, so some of them's already heard it, but it never comes out the same. Anyway, Jude chapter 16. And we're going to talk about Delilah and the devil tonight, how they're similar there, Delilah and the devil. And a lot of people love that when you talk about that. This is one of those subjects, you know, when you look at Samson's life, there's not a lot there. Really, we know 2 things about him. I read this today. I thought it was good. He was strong and he was wrong. You know, and in Judges chapter 16, we're going to read the story of Samson. Did I say something else by the way here? Jude, James, whatever. One of those that starts with a J. Judges. I heard pages. I was like, I probably said it wrong. And we're going to be in Judges. I could see some of y'all going, I don't think there's anything mentioned about Delilah and Jude. I don't know. Maybe there is. We could make it. You know, if you was in most churches, you could make it fit anyway, right? It's not in there, but we're going to preach it anyway. But tonight, we're going to be in Judges. We're going to be in that book. And chapter 16. Of course, Samson, being a judge for 20 years. And at the time that this was written, that really the Philistines had taken control of Israel. The Philistines were a powerhouse with the big men, the giants that they would have had, and just the weaponry that they had. They were very skilled men. They were very, let me say this about the Philistines, they were very barbaric in their tactics. And they were very persistent in what they did. And so we're even going to see that here in our story. So if you look at the life of Samson, his name means one like the sun, or basically if you want to break it down, it means sunny. You say, why is it called that? Because this was a dark day in Israel's life, and God gave them a judge for 20 years that was going to bring light to Israel, that was going to bring really kind of a force to Israel that Israel had not had. And if you study the life of Samson, you're going to notice one thing about it, that he was a, I don't even know how to say it, probably right, but basically he did everything by himself. There was no army with him. There was no help. There was no assistance. Basically, Samson did it on his own. He defeated, we know, 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. He killed 30 men with his bare hands. He ripped apart a lion with his bare hands. He was a very strong man. But we're going to look at his life. Where did he go wrong? How is Delilah a picture of the devil? Or how are the Philistines a picture of how the devil works through the Delilahs in our world today? And so as we look at this, I want you to think about Samson's life. And Samson's life basically started off by him going to his father and saying, I want to marry that lady. And basically he was pointing across the way at the Philistines, and he wanted to marry a Philistine girl. His father said, well, son, is there not anybody of our family, of our tribe that you can marry? And he said, no, I want that lady. His life starts off in a selfish tone. Let me just go ahead and start this off by saying, be careful who you marry. Hello? Because if you marry somebody on the opposite team, you did the best you could. You know, with Billy, but you know, sometimes you just need God to intervene. I can hear them laughing at this. But listen, if you marry somebody on the opposite team, what do you say, what opposite team? I'm saying somebody who's lost. The Bible's against that, by the way. How can two walk together unless they agree? Why? And then it tells us, too, that when we marry, we're to marry somebody who is saved. And I think that's, I think I go a little further than that. You ought to marry somebody of your own denomination. It makes it a whole lot easier. You could marry somebody that's a different... I've seen fusses and fights go on. And listen, we ought to marry people who agree with you already. Not that you're going to ever change them, because we know that doesn't happen a lot of times. But here he reaches across the aisle to the very enemies of God, the very enemies of Israel, and he takes a wife from there. Well, the story goes on that... I'm giving you the quick version of Samson's life. Is basically what happens is that Samson takes his wife, and he gets in a fuss with his father-in-law over his wife there that he had taken. And basically that his wife was given to some other men and all this, and the Philistines found out. And basically what Samson does is that he gathers up 300 foxes. He gathers them up and grabs them by the tail, and he ties them together, and he puts firebrands, as the scripture says. That simply means just torches. And he let them go through the fields of the Philistines. So now their corn is burnt up. Their olive trees are burnt up because he burned them down. Well, what happens then is that they go and they grab his wife and his father-in-law, and they burn them. So there's a fight going on between Samson and the Philistines. And until the day we die, we're going to deal with Philistines in our life. There are enemies that are against us. Then he goes on in the first part of this chapter. He marries a harlot. And he goes to Gaza and he marries a Gazanite. But he marries her. Or doesn't marry her. Guess what happens? He's still in that mode of sin. Well, we come into verse 4. Here's what happens again. Poor Samson. Samson could have been called Solomon. Him and Solomon had something in common. It was called women. If I was preaching to a men's group tonight, I would preach what women do to us. But being there's a mixed group, I'm kidding with that. Seriously. Be careful with the women. No, it's the men, right, ladies? It's always the man's fault. Verse 4. And it came to pass afterwards, that's after that he was with another woman that he shouldn't have been with, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Isn't that something? That here he is again and he's like, I love you. Like, I don't know if they just met and he says, I love you. Sounds like teenager love, doesn't it? I love you. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, notice that word, entice. Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him that we may bind him to afflict him and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver, which is about $5,000 of our currency today. That's a pretty good bit of money. And Delilah said unto Samson, notice she took the bait, didn't she? There's a Judas in this story. There's a Judas a lot in the Bible. She said, tell me. Now, I'm going to say it kind of like I told the youth today. I don't think she said, tell me wherein your strength lies. I believe she said, oh, sweetie. I believe she probably grabbed his arm because he was apparently pretty strong, right? She said, you're the strongest man I know. Women know how to get to us, guys. You know what they do? They bring us food. And we cave in immediately. Did you say you was going to not build that for me? They did a little shoulder thing, a little eye batting at us. No, I don't have time to, but I made you a pie. Well, I was just about to go outside. Right? I mean, I'm not trying to make this story funny, but I'm just telling you that she had a way about her that she was after something, and she was bound and determined to get it, whatever means it took. And let me remind all of us is that the devil works the very same way. I don't believe the devil comes up to us, and there again, I'm not trying to be funny. No, I don't believe the devil comes up to us and goes, rah, rah, rah. I believe he comes up to us and says, right? He just kind of entices us. You know the story. I'm not going to read the whole entire chapter tonight, but she comes and she entices him and he lies to her. She entices him again and he lies to her again. Three times she asks, where's your great strength lie? Well, if you bind me, if you do this. And then he gets on down the third time and says, well, if you tie my hair together and put it on a peg and tie it around posts, then that's my strength. And of course, every time that she does that, you would think Samson would go, what is really going on here? Because she's not the only one there. The Philistines are there. Remember, every time she would ask something, she would come in and say, oh, the Philistines are here, the Philistines are here. Three times? I'm going to ask my wife after the first one, how did you let them in the house? By the way of just introduction tonight, let me tell you that Satan's already around the corner. He's waiting for that moment that we are weak. He's waiting on that moment when he can just come around the corner and I was here the whole time. I believe just as God's not far from any one of us, I believe Satan and his workers are not very far from any one of us. One moment of weakness can destroy your life. So she goes on down and she pours it on, man, I'm telling you. Verse 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Baby, why you do that? I believe she snuggled up a little closer to him and said, in the verse 13, said, tell me, wherewith thou mightest be bound? And he said unto her, thou weavest seven locks of hair in the web and fasten it with a pin. And goes on down and he falls a. And then he awakens out of the sleep there, and she says unto him, who are the Philistines are here? And then in verse 15 it gets serious. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, here we go, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? I believe she had her hand on her hip by this time. Now, you say you love me, but you're not telling me the whole story. Women, every investigator and interrogator in the world should be a woman. My mom could make me, she could make me just confess to things I didn't even do. She was so good at that. I mean, you know. And women, y'all have a way of just getting things out of us men. Which is not hard with some of us. You just, there again, give us food and we start telling everything. But notice what happens here. In verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with the words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. And here's what happens in verse 17, 18. He told her all his heart. And there again in verse 18, all his heart, and showed him all his heart. He said, you know what? I'm just going to tell you. I want to give you some things tonight that I believe that there is a correlation between Delilah and the devil, how the devil works in our life. Number one, I believe the devil will use temptation to get to you and me. I believe the devil will use temptation. That word entice in verse 5 simply means this, to deceive, persuade, and here's the word that I like, flatter. Or allure to seduce, or allure or to seduce. To entice him, that we want to entice him. But here's the thing, if you go back to chapter 14 and read verse 15, chapter 14 verse 15, he's already been enticed before and it worked. He had already been, but it didn't go as far as him losing his strength. He was able, remember whenever he was bound with those bands with his first wife, and what happened is that he had broke those bands and got out before that they could kill him and before they could destroy him. God gave him a space of grace. God gave him an out. With every temptation therewith, God gives us a way of escape. And guess what? Samson had the escape the first time. Go to chapter 14, verse 15. Notice what it says. And the Philistines came to his wife there and said this, and it came to pass on the seventh day that Samson's wife enticed thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, that we may burn thee with thy father's house with fire. Have ye called and take that which we have? Is not so. In other words, they're asking, hey, why don't you go and entice him? Verse 17, here's what she does. The last part of that verse says, because she lay sore upon him. In other words, every day she asked him, what does the riddle mean? And there's a whole story behind this riddle that he had. She's like, I need you to tell me the riddle, because she was trying to tell it to the Philistines so that they could gain from Samson. See, he'd already been in this pickle before. You ever notice something in our life? You ever find yourself in a mess and you look at it and you go, I did it again. You ain't got to agree with me, but I've been there. I'm like, knucklehead, you've already done this one time. Why are you here again? It's because the devil knows how to tempt us. He knows the very weaknesses of our life. And don't look at your neighbor and say, mm-hmm, because we all have those temptations. See, James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 14, you ought to write this down. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and here's the last part, and enticed. He's allured, he's seduced by whatever it may be, whatever your trigger is in your life. We all have something that we can be tempted with. Whether it be money, whether it be fame, whether it be whatever it may be, is that we all have those triggers in our life. It's just what we have to do is realize what they are and say no. The devil knows where your weaknesses are, right? The devil knows where your weaknesses are. The size or the strength of a man does say nothing about when he falls. See, Samson was a big guy, wasn't he? I'm not a big guy. Well, if you count round. I'm saying tall-wise. I'm not a big guy. I don't think people see me and they go, ooh, I'm intimidated by him. Right? Most people look at me and go, I think I'd take him. Right? I mean, but there are some men in this world that you look at and you go, I would not want to punch him in the face and have to run. Because his arms are so long, he would grab me on the way out and hold me up and make me pay for it, right? But here's the thing, is that it didn't matter the structure of this man. It did not matter the physique of this man. Is that he had a temptation that was put in front of him and he was enticed and that he bid on it. The second thing the devil will use is tiredness. I'm telling you, this gets me. The devil will use tiredness to get to you. You say, what do you mean? In verses 6 through 9, she bothered him. 10 through 12, she bothered him. 13 through 15, the third time she bothered him. And then you get to verse 16, it says she pressed him how many times? Daily. You say, how long was it? I don't know, but it was enough for him to go, finally, you know what, I'm done with this. See, as parents, our kids know that, don't they? Just keep asking, just keep asking, just keep asking, and then what do we do as parents? Okay, whatever you want, yeah, just do it, right? I know nobody else has ever done that. Some of y'all are laughing, but you're not nodding your heads, but you know that your kid has come to you 100 times, just blah, 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 and you're like, okay! But you know when it happens is when we get tired of something. We got to be careful. You know what happens in mine and your life is that we get tired in this fast-paced world that we get in, and I believe the devil has made the world like it is today because we live tired lives. I wake up tired. Most of you do too, right? You ever wake up one morning and go, okay, did I sleep? Right? Here's what, I want you to look at verse 16. I'm going to break it down just a little bit if you don't mind. Even if you mind, I'm still going to do it. But verse 16 says, and when she pressed him, that word press simply means to oppress or distress or constrain or to lie sore. That word press, press upon him, press upon him. But notice what else it says there, and urge him. Also in verse 16, urge him. That word urge is the same word used to press. It means to press. It's an urge. It just keep doing it over and over with repetition. Then the last word is vexed unto death. That word vexed means to be impatient or to be grieved to the point of surrender. I'm done. I'm vexed. I'm done. And listen, the devil knows when to come and to get us. We know he was tired because he was trying to sleep on her lap. In verse 19, he fell asleep. He was so tired. And they cut the locks of his hair off and he didn't wake up. Why? Because he was just wore out from every day. Honey, do you love me? Do you love me? If you love me, tell me what you... Anybody just... You just get to the point in your life where you're like, I'm just so tired. I can't go on another step. And you know what? The devil goes, oh, really? Good. All of us face this. Wake up in the morning, you go, oh, my soul, there's no way I can read my Bible today. I am so tired. I'm just going to hit the day running. And the devil goes, oh, really? No Bible reading today? Woohoo! Because in Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ faced a time when he was tired and hungry and thirsty. Remember, he took him up into a exceeding high mountain after 40 days of fasting. No water, no food. Jesus on top of the mountain. The devil finally comes to him on that 40th day and begins to tempt him. You know why he did that? Because he figured, I got him tired now. I got him hungry. I got him thirsty. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to entice him. The devil knows how to use tiredness, doesn't he? Folks, I'll tell you what, we all have to be careful with that, don't we? That we don't get so tired that we forget to read our Bible and we forget to pray. We wake up on Sunday morning and go, I just don't think I'm going to make it today. I need just one day. I've heard this. I just need one day of rest. No, not on Sunday you don't. You don't. You know what? Maybe what we ought to do is not watch that television show before we go to bed. And just go to bed. And wake up a little earlier so we can get in the Word of God. Because you know what? The devil's going to go, oh, not going to church today. Woohoo! You're tired, huh? Yes, you are. You look so tired. Look at those bags under your eyes. Oh, my soul, you've not slept good forever, right? And the devil will just entice. Listen, the devil entices me just like he entices you. Preachers aren't exempt. We have enticement. We have those times where we're tired and we're wore out also. We're all in this together. But I want to show you the last thing I'm done tonight. The devil will use trickery to get to you. Samson thought it was just another date, didn't he? Oh, you want me to come over to your house? Okay. But what he didn't know is that the lap he would lay in chapter 16 would ultimately destroy him. You know what's amazing in this story is that in the first part of it, the Philistines came to her and said, entice him so that we may afflict him. But you know what the Bible tells us? That she afflicted him. You read it starts in verse 18, and it says that, matter of fact, just look at verse 19. Notice what happens. I believe it's verse 5, it says that we may afflict him there in the last part of verse 5. But in verse 19, it says she made him to sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And now notice what it says. And she began to afflict him. She ended up doing the affliction first. You see, you can set out with good intentions. But listen, be careful with the Delilahs in this world. Be careful with those who would seek to tempt you and to pull you in. And listen, I'm not talking about just women. I'm talking about just things in life that can draw us. Right? We have to be careful with those things. I give you this and I'm done. Is that, what do you do? Well, what do we do, preacher? How do we do this? Well, here's how we do it. I was telling the group today is that I love watching the kids when you talk about things that really don't happen no more. I was talking about boxing. Y'all remember when boxing used to be popular? I remember my dad used to love to watch boxing. That was back in the days when they wore the gloves and they actually had to, you know, withstand a, you know, a long time period. You know, today I know it's UFC and all those type things, but they would come into the ring and the referee would be in the ring, and one thing he would say to them is protect yourself at all times. And here's the thing, if you look it up, it's if they cease to protect themselves, the match is done. And can I say to the child of God, protect yourselves at all times? You say, well, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Every day you got to get up and you got to put that armor on. Every day you got to get up and put that armor on, because that one day that you say, nah, I don't think I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I don't think I'm going to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I don't think I'm going to have the sword of the Spirit today. That's the day that you didn't come to protect yourself. And guess what? Satan's going to come in and he's going to get you. You're going to be on the mat and it's done. You lost that day. But because we serve a good God, the Lord Jesus comes by and says, get up. And he helps us up, dusts us off, cleans us off, and lets us go again. Do you know who made it into the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11? His name was called Samson. You say, why was that? Well, he got up one last time after they plucked his eyes out. He had one last hurrah. God allowed him to see that. God allowed him to have strength one more time. And can I tell you, God will pick you up. There's no sin God can't forgive, by the way. Aren't you glad of that? You know what? And why in the world would we not come to a holy God and say, Lord, I've sinned. And we all have. And we all will. And we all do. Sometimes we think, well, this sin is so great, God can't forgive that one. Yeah, he can. He can forgive anything. He can forgive anything that in our life. And we ought to just come to him and say, Lord, look, I let a Delilah in. Y'all may know a Delilah. I know I do, but I'm not talking about a specific person, right? I'm talking about the Bible character. Yes, there's the Philistines are all out there. And the devil uses people to get into our lives and to wreak havoc in our life. God help us on that. I pray tonight that God's spoken to your heart. If he has, listen, when you come to the altar, Pastor says this a few times every now and then, is that when you come to the altar, it's not you're coming down here saying, I was guilty of what he just said. Not necessarily. But God maybe spoke to your heart about something. Maybe something that didn't even have nothing to do with what I said. Don't judge people when they come to the altar. You never know what people are dealing with in their life. You never know what may be happening in someone's life. But these altars are for everybody. And we ought to come and we ought to use these altars and pray and ask God to help us. Because I'm telling you what, if Satan doesn't get me today, he's going to try again tomorrow. Right? I haven't been home yet. I am tired tonight. My day started, you know, early like y'all's did. But you know what? Man, I got to study the Bible today. And even in that time, the devil always tries to come by, doesn't he? But I'm glad that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let's stand tonight with heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Glenn's going to come lead us in our invitation tonight, hymn 162. But I'm going to pray. If you need to come tonight, let's use these altars. Father, we love you. And Lord, tonight, Lord, all of us deal with those times of temptation and those times of tiredness and times of trickery from old Satan himself. Lord, he may use people in our lives. And Lord, he may bring things in our lives that would hinder us in our walk with you. God, help us to be steadfast in putting on the armor every day. Lord, God forbid that I would wake up one day and forget to put on the armor. And Lord, Satan would get in and destroy me and my family, this church. Lord, our pastor, these families that are represented here, just one day, God, one day of letting things slip. And Lord, that's the day that we find ourselves on our back, Lord, asking how we got there. God, put a hedge about us, please, Lord. And Lord, for those that have, Lord, gone through those times, Lord, I know you forgive them. Help them to get back up, Lord, and get back to serving you. And Lord, just reading your word and doing the things right. Lord, tonight, bless your people, Lord. whatever the needs are, may you meet those tonight in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing him.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.